Give me a beat. Thank you for pushing play. You are listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast, episode 73. You know, 73 wins when the Warriors blew a... Internet, this is the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast, episode 73, being recorded on February the 4th, 2017, brought to you by RayRay.net, and it's being syndicated by the Happy Hour Network. My name is Ray Morali, also known as Ray Ray, and this podcast was dropped initially on Super Bowl Sunday. How's it going, Patriots and Falcons? Really quick Super Bowl pick. I am picking the Patriots to win this one, but I'm rooting for the Falcons because, well, you know, I guess because I have a lot of friends in Atlanta now, so yeah, I'm rooting for the Falcons, and of course the Patriots have won 4 Super Bowls, and it'd be nice if someone else wins the big game today. It's funny because, my guest is actually from New England, or actually from, originally from Boston. My old friend John Cross from Red's Army. I never got to talk to him about the Super Bowl, but we did talk about a lot of NBA stuff because that's what we do in this podcast. If you never listened to this podcast before, I usually talk NBA because I am an NBA online writer, but really I talk about whatever else because, you know, I don't stick to sports. I don't like sticking to sports. And, you know, we shouldn't stick to sports. We should talk about whatever the hell we want. You know what I mean? So, so John Corrales, from Red's Army, we talk about the Celtics. And, we talk about the old Lakers and Celtics rivalry. And we talk about the time when we first met, which was about 8 years ago. That was a long time ago. So, before we get on with this, chat, just let me remind you that you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. You can also download the show on Stitcher and RayRay.net. And this show is being syndicated by the Happy Hour Network. You can follow me on Twitter at the Nolan Pass, and you can follow the podcast Twitter at RayRayIsFun. So I'm not going to delay this any further. Let's go ahead and talk to the badass proprietor of Red's Army, John Corrales, Lakers Celtics old rivalry, and we renew an old friendship. Let's do this. Scratch. Ray Ray is Fundamental Podcast, episode 73. My guest is an old friend of mine. I've known him for 8 years too long. Where did we start, man? Blogs of Balls? Back in the day, dude?
Yeah, like, I want to say, when was that? Like, 2009. Wow, man.
I know. From Red's Army and the host of the Locked On Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On NBA Network, John Corrales. What's up?
Man, I'm just chilling, man. I'm just enjoying a little bit of basketball, enjoying the Celtics kind of on their way back.
I'm sure you're enjoying. Were they actually ever in the bottom, though? Seriously? Like, they've been floating around the playoffs for a while now, right?
They are. I will say this, that Danny Ainge managed to rebuild a lot faster than most teams are able to because this is the difference between realizing where you are and trying too hard to avoid where you are. Like, you have to come to some realizations about your own team. And here's Danny Ainge with Paul Pierce, who, let's look at the day after. We're doing this the day after Celtics Lakers. The Lakers gave Kobe Bryant the Lifetime Achievement Award contract.
Yeah.
And look at where they are. The Celtics said, thanks, Paul Pierce, but it's time to go, which is hard for a Celtics fan. Like, and he's coming back tomorrow, and we're all going to love him and everything. But we're here watching a team. Our coach is the all-star coach. That's how good the team is. They're the second seed in the East. I don't think anybody's really got much animosity towards Danny Ainge for trading Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett at this point.
Right.
So I think it's that self-awareness to say we're not going to be great. we need to do something here before we have to go full hinky and just completely, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like completely go into the toilet. And what he was able to do was take advantage of a situation and took advantage of the Brooklyn Nets. And now we're seeing the fruits of that because we got Isaiah Thomas for nothing. We got Jay Crowder for what turned out to be like when Jay Crowder was a quote unquote throw in the Rondo trade. I was like, man, we didn't get enough for Rondo. Now I'm like, oh my God, we fleeced Dallas for Rondo.
Yeah.
So that's what being a smart GM is all about. He made a hard decision and a non-emotional decision. And this is why somebody like me would be a terrible GM because I would never trade Paul Pierce. Like I'd give Paul Pierce, I would do what the Lakers did with Kobe, but you're not supposed to do that as a GM. You're supposed to be cold-blooded and you do the things you need to do to advance. So as a Celtics fan, I can appreciate what Danny Ainge did and still, I can still love Paul Pierce and I'm still going to be very emotional when he comes back for the final time tomorrow. But I know that it takes some balls to do what Ainge did and here they are they're not even the finished product, but here they are the second seed in the East in the midst of a rebuild. So. Mm-hmm.
And
I can't argue with what he's done.
They've got draft picks galore in like the next 5 years, right? Like you mentioned them fleecing the Nets for picks, and they got picks from the I don't know, like the Isaiah Thomas.
They got the Clippers. Yeah. They've got the Nets pick this year and next year. They can swap this year, but they've got this year. They can swap places next year unprotected. They've got 2019 Memphis. Memphis is on the verge of a rebuild. They got 2019 Clippers. Clippers are deathly close to a rebuild. They've got a bunch of second round picks. They got a second round pick from Minnesota this year. They've got second round picks from Cleveland. They got second round picks from another Clippers. They've got all of these picks all over the place that they can use to kind of, you want to throw a couple of second rounders here for somebody to take some salary in a multi-team trade, they can do that. They've got options, but they've got a ton of picks between this year, next year, and the year after. Now this year, if they swap places, so I can't count their own pick this year. So I'm just going to say this year they have Brooklyn. Next year they have Brooklyn and their own. And in 2019 they have the Clippers, Memphis, and their own first round pick. So the Celtics could be championship contenders in 2019, or hell, at that point, maybe even NBA champions with right. Three first round picks.
It's insane. I remember also, I believe I read somewhere where Danny Ainge would have traded Bird, McHale, and Parrish at the end of their careers because he's got cold blooded and he actually puts the team first. Like no player is bigger than the team, and that's how he sees it.
It's really hard to do that because it's a guy like Paul Pierce who had such a unique trajectory in Boston. He went from a guy that not everybody, but a lot of people wanted traded to a guy who kind of redeemed himself and then became this team player on a champion and ultimately beloved and regarded as one of the Celtics greats.
Yeah.
And after all of that, for Danny Ainge to be like, all right, that was great, but you gotta go. Like, that is hardcore stuff, man.
Right.
So, that is the type of mentality you need to have as a general manager. You need to have that kind of cold-bloodedness. Like, take this team, for example. Isaiah Thomas is right now amongst the Boston gods. He is Mr. King in the fourth. He is just tearing it up. He has embraced the city. To trade Isaiah Thomas now or in the summer would just be like the ultimate kick in the balls because he has been such, such a god for Boston this year, and he has embraced the city unlike any athlete we have seen. And I swear, I believe in my heart that Danny Ainge this summer would trade Isaiah Thomas if it meant the team getting markedly better. Like, that's what Ainge is. And I would never at this point trade Isaiah Thomas because he's just, I can't even put into words what he is right now.
He's a top 10 player. Like, I'm not even going to miss words. He's a top 10 player in the league right now.
He's an MVP candidate. He's in the mix. He's in that mix. People have to now consider him. And I know that it's probably in order Harden, Westbrook, and then everybody else, maybe Kawhi and everybody else. But he's in that top five. You can't tell me that Isaiah Thomas is not a top five MVP candidate.
And it's weird. It's weird coming from me because I'm obviously LA and everything, but I can't help but admire what Isaiah's done. He's basically my height, right? Yeah. And here he is tearing up the league. He's second in the league in scoring nearly 30 points a game. And you just can't help but admire what he's done. And in the last three games, in the fourth quarter, he's averaged 20 points. In the fourth quarter alone.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it is. And you just can't help it, man. Like, he's so good, and he's bounced around the league, Sacramento, Phoenix, and no one really wanted him because he's a quote-unquote selfish scorer, and yet, here he is.
Yes, and here he is averaging, what, almost 7 assists a game? Yeah. So, you can talk about his selfish scoring and everything, but he's passing the ball a lot, too. Here's, I think, why Isaiah is what he is. And I think people are looking at Isaiah the wrong way. I think people are looking at Isaiah and saying he's succeeding despite everything, despite his height, despite him bouncing around the league. I think he is succeeding because of his height and because he bounced around the league. It all led to a level of motivation that got him to this point. And his height, I'm flipping it. I'm saying it's an advantage for him at this point because he has learned how to use his body to his advantage. He has been able to get low, get into a player's, an opponent's body at below that opponent's center of gravity, and use that opponent's momentum against them and sneakily push off, get away with clearing out a little bit, and use that entire package to get somebody moving one way while he moves the other. And he is now masterful at hitting these fading away, moving away from the basket, kind of insanely difficult shots. He's gotten really good at that, but he has learned how to use his lack of height to his own advantage. So I'm done with the, oh man, imagine if he was 5'5", not 5'9", if he was 6'9". No. Nope. He's 5'9". Actually, he's probably like 5'7".
He was listed at 5'8" in Washington.
Yeah.
In college. Yeah.
But because of that, he has mastered how to use those quote-unquote limitations and flip those into advantages. And I think if he was 6'6 or above, I don't think he'd be the player that he is now. You know, couple that with, like, it's because of the motivation. It's because he's always had to be this height, and he's always had to have this kind of, like, this thing holding him back. I just think that he's gotten to a point where he knows it's very Bruce Lee-ish. It's very much like he understands his opponent. He understands that they're going to be doing certain things because for that opponent, that approach works 99% of the time. That 1% of the time it doesn't work, it's because of Isaiah and how short he is. And he takes that and he turns it into his own advantage. So that I fully honestly, and I'm not BSing anybody, I fully honestly believe that he has been able to turn his height into an advantage, and he has mastered the art of turning a player's momentum against them and clearing out space and figuring out how to get shots off in places where most people don't get shots off because of all of that.
It's weird to me how in the fourth quarter, they always go to Isaiah, right? They always go to him. And it's weird how teams haven't figured it out. They can't stop him in the fourth. Again, 20 points in the last three games. I believe he scored 20 points in the fourth quarter four times a season. It's ridiculous how they just can't stop him in the fourth quarter and aptly named King in the fourth, right? So how do you stop the Celtics if you were going against them right now in the fourth quarter?
Well, in the fourth quarter, I think the Celtics have done a great job. When Isaiah does have his huge fourth quarters, it's
because like every game, basically.
Really, yes, it really is. But they did have a stretch recently where they lost three in a row, and they lost to Washington, they lost to the Knicks, I forget who else they lost to, but they lost games where they should have won. And I think a lot of that was because the Celtics stood around and watched and said, please, Isaiah, bail us out. And when Isaiah does bail them out, it's because other guys are doing a lot of things. Like in the fourth quarter against the Lakers, Jay Crowder had 5 points in the fourth. Terry Rozier had 5 points in the fourth. So it wasn't all Isaiah. He had 17 in the fourth, but the Celtics had 31. So they had contributions from a few guys. And if you want to stop Isaiah in the fourth, you need to turn the other guys into spectators. So however that happens, I think they've done a great job, the Celtics have, with Al Horford, who in the fourth quarter last night had 3 assists, which is a big deal. He led the team with 3 assists in the fourth quarter. They do a great job of pick and roll with IT and reading how defenses are playing it. And Isaiah will either use the pick or reject the pick. And Horford is really, really smart in understanding what Thomas is going to do. And so I think what you need to do on those pick and rolls are just stick as close as you can to Isaiah, go over the pick and switch as best you can. Or if you have the ability to put a bigger forward on him, like, oh, Orlando, Tobias Harris did a great job defending Isaiah Thomas. Now, Tobias Harris is a big small forward. That's the type of guy, if you have that versatile type of small forward, he's the type of guy that can stay with Isaiah as, you know, as much as somebody can, bother him, and if you can stay on your feet and not go for fakes, if you can not get caught up in picks, then that's the type of guy who can kind of slow him down or at least cause some problems. And Isaiah has always struggled against length. So a team that has some big guys across the board, then that will be a team that they will struggle against, that Isaiah will struggle against. But I would, if I was defending Isaiah in the fourth quarter, just stay tight and don't overreact. Switch on everything and use a small forward to defend him as much as you can.
And with all these picks coming in for the Celtics, and the prize was Al Horford in last summer, is this though the Celtics already have their star as Isaiah Thomas? Like, do they actually believe in him enough that he'll be the guy they'll build around?
Well, I think that if they get the number one pick overall, then you've got a bunch of point guards that are among the best players in college right now. They may go with that. Maybe they'll value a forward. I don't know. Maybe they'll use that as a trade chip. But I think if Danny Ainge looks at the point guards in the league right now. I'm sorry, in the draft right now. And he determines that those point guards are going to get the Celtics to a championship faster than Isaiah will. Then Isaiah will get traded. But you didn't get Al Horford to build around a point guard that you draft. I don't think. So I think the plan has always been Thomas, Horford, and next star to be named later. If that's Jimmy Butler, if that's DeMarcus Cousins, if that's Blake Griffin, I don't know. But they need to get that other star player in here. And I think Danny Ainge is probably looking to build around not just Isaiah, but around him and Horford, and trying to get a third person in here who can create his own offense and kind of carry the Celtics through those earlier parts of the game. Because Isaiah in the fourth quarter has been awesome, but that can't be your strategy going into the playoffs. Like, the playoffs are a different animal. That can't be the thing that you count on in the playoffs. I mean, maybe IT will prove everybody wrong again, but, you know, how can, that's not something that you would expect to keep on carrying over. So if the Celtics are going to get to, let's say, the Eastern Conference Finals, they're going to need other people to step up. They're going to need Horford to have big fourth quarters himself. Isaiah's not going to have 20-point fourth quarters in the playoffs.
Maybe, maybe not.
I mean, maybe he will. Maybe he will. I don't know. I guess.
Isaiah's averaging 10.7 points in the fourth quarter of the season, which would blow away Kobe Bryant's record of 9.6, which he did in 2006.
Hey, this is Russ Bankson from Complex, and you're listening to Ray Ray's Fundamental Podcast. Watch out for puns.
And you're listening to Ray Ray is Fundamental Podcast. See you then.
What are the chances of the Celtics beating the Cavs this season?
Oh, none.
I mean, go ahead.
No, I'm not going to lie. None. There's no chance. Well, okay, there's a little bit of a chance, but like, it's like 95% that the Cavs are going to go to the finals, right?
Right, yeah.
So, I mean, look, this was never going to be the final finished product for Boston. And I know that people are looking at the Celtics as the second seed in the East right now. And they're close. And the Cavs could slip a little bit more. And LeBron could coast a little bit more and bitch and moan about, I need a playmaker or whatever. But, like, they, even if the Celtics or the Raptors sneak in and grab that top seed, I mean, that's nice. It'd be nice to say. But in the end, the Cavs are the best team in the East without question. And the other teams in the East, Boston, Toronto, Washington, Atlanta, they're all flawed in some way. And they just don't have enough to handle the Cavs. And in a 7-game series, I would never expect the Celtics to beat the Cavs. They could. I could sit there and find out ways and say if they can do A, B, C, D, then they could possibly win a 7-game series. But I don't expect that at all. And
too many ifs.
Too many ifs, yeah. And again, the big thing for everybody to understand is that we knew coming into the season, mostly, that this was not the finished product. Even if the Celtics got the second seed, even if they snuck into that top seed in the East, we know this is not the finished product. It's next year and the year after. those are the years where the Celtics really are going to be, hopefully, contenders, because Danny Ainge still has a move to make to get that star player in here. And it may even take a little bit longer if he thinks that move that he needs to make is drafting somebody in 17 and 18 and building through the draft. But regardless of what he thinks, this has never been the finished product. This was never going to be the team that Ainge said, all right, here comes Banner 18. Like, that's not what this team is. This team is fun. This team is very enjoyable, and we love the way they play and scrap, and it's a great story, and Isaiah Thomas is an amazing story, but we never expected them to be championship contenders.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, the Celtics beat the Lakers on Friday night. That's great, but do you still... We're getting older now, and I'm kind of winding down, like, whenever the Lakers beat the Celtics, whatever, just kind of like, okay, that's great. Do you feel that way now that you're older, or do you still do backflips whenever the Celtics beat the Lakers?
I mean, I always enjoy a win over the Lakers. Mm-hmm. There's always something to like about beating the Lakers.
Yeah.
And I'm sure from an LA perspective, there's always something to like about beating the Celtics. For me, watching Nick Young just be such a douche in the first quarter, like, dude, get over yourself. Like, you had a nice game. You had a nice game. But, like, he's, like, doing all the shimmies and wiggles and stuff. Like, all right, man, come on. You're on a really, really bad team. And it's the first quarter. Maybe if you did that stuff to close the game and beat the Celtics on their home court, then I can see all the histrionics. But in the first quarter, with 4 minutes left in the first quarter, and you're doing all this wiggling bullshit, get over yourself. So that to me, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm wiping my mouth watching Isaiah just shut him up. So, but like, I'm old enough where I see those colors on the floor, and it just, even though I know where the Lakers are right now, and even if it was reversed and the Celtics were terrible and the Lakers were contenders or on their verge of being contenders, I would sit there and I would just, something is triggered inside of me that just makes it just a little bit more than a regular season game in the beginning of February. It just makes it just that bit more enticing. And then on top of it, how cool was it that the Celtics and the Lakers came into that game completely tied after 70 years of NBA basketball?
That's amazing.
That they came in with the exact same amount of wins. That was a tie-breaking game after 70 years of league existence. That was amazing to me. And then, let me just say, that Paul Pierce coming back on Sunday is playing in Boston, his final game in Boston, on the anniversary of his debut in Boston, because he debuted in a lockout year.
Right.
And so he didn't start playing basketball until February, his rookie year. So in the span of a weekend, the Celtics and Lakers played each other tied for all-time wins. And then Paul Pierce comes in for his final game in Boston on the anniversary of his debut in Boston. Even the most ardent conspiracy theorist couldn't explain that. It's completely serendipitous. It's amazing. This weekend for me is just this amazing bit of basketball, and I'm so thankful that it happened. But going back to your original thing, every time I see Celtics Lakers, I mean, I'm sitting here talking to you, staring at this picture of the jump ball, and you know the picture where it's I'm looking at, I think, 9 out of 10 players on this thing is our Hall of Famers. And this is from like the 85, finals. That's just, every time I see a Lakers jersey on that parquet, I just stir something up in me. I just want to clench my fist and clench my teeth and go, ugh.
Maybe I'm getting older, I guess. I don't know, because I just don't feel that way anymore, I guess. Because I've covered the league the past few years myself. And I just become appreciative more and more. Obviously, I still appreciate the Lakers' office rivalry. But I just want everybody to do well at this point. That's why I guess I gush over Isaiah Thomas, even though he's a Celtic. But also, he's also my height. So
that's a little bit different.
Do it for the short guys.
It's Kristen Ledlow from NBA Inside Stuff, and I was once on the Ray Reyes Fundamental Podcast. Once. That was enough.
Man, I haven't seen you in 5 years, dude. Like,
I know, man. What the hell?
Hey, you haven't come to Vegas in years yourself, man.
That's my fault. Shit, sorry.
Yeah, but here's the funny thing. But see, 5 years ago was quite a week for us because not only because we, you know, just BS the entire time, but two things happened. We were the first 10 minutes we were sitting next to each other at the media floor. The Phoenix Suns were about to play a summer league game, and Dan Marley comes by.
I love this moment so much.
Great. I know.
So much.
It's weird because it was just a throwaway "Hey Thunder Dan," and then he just smiles at us and he gives me a fist bump like out of nowhere. It's just so perfect.
It's like you two were boys. It's like, "Hey Dan," "Oh hey Ray," "Boom." "Yeah, I'll talk to you later. We'll go grab a beer." Like that was the only thing missing. That entire moment was so fluid and natural. I was like, what the hell just happened here? That was amazing.
It was the same thing for me. I did a pretty good job covering it up, but it's like, what just happened? Because I just saw like you and like a few others in the media were just laughing at it. Like,
God. It was so great.
Yeah. Also, going 2 years before that, in 2010, we had a horse game, right?
Yes, we did.
And I challenged you on Twitter, say, "Hey, I'll play horse and lose the worthy Carly Brown jersey."
Yeah.
Yeah.
You still have it.
I still have the jersey, yeah. But the funny thing is that, like, 2 years later, when I finally paid off the bet, we were in the media room. Mark Cuban happened to be there.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yes. Yeah.
And he stared at me like, "What the hell is wrong with you? Why are you wearing a Carly Brown jersey?" And we had to explain to him, "Oh yeah, I lost a bet to this guy. We played horse, and I have to wear this for the entire day." And I remember Mark just shaking his head, saying, "Call me, man."
Oh, it's so great.
Yeah,
so great, man.
Those are the things I remember 5 years ago. Last time we saw each other. So you got to come to Vegas.
I know. I definitely do. I really, honestly, I do. I think maybe this year I'll plan that because.
Yeah.
I think with our podcast network now, mm-hmm. Getting out there and having a little more justification for going out there and you know, as opposed to just going out there and just like. Yeah, you know, I'll go and just, we'll just be partying. Like, I'll go and it's tough. Getting out to Vegas in the middle of July, that's not entirely appealing, but, you know, I've been out there. I've done it. I've stood on a corner waiting for a light to change. And as I started to take a step, my shoes started to melt on the sidewalk. As I was waiting, it was so freaking hot. I was like, "Oh my god, I'm stuck!" Like you pull it up, like you're. If you've ever like been in a movie theater and you pull your foot up and it was like sticky, you have like that feeling. Like that literally, I'm not exaggerating. That literally happened to me. The soles of my shoes started to melt on the sidewalk in Vegas. I remember. Exactly where it was. It was like Bill's Old Time Saloon, something or other. It's not even there anymore. I remember that corner. It was so vivid in my mind. But like, ugh, so hot. But yeah. I think the Celtics, part of the reason why I didn't go to Vegas for so long is because the Celtics did the Orlando thing.
Right, right.
And they were in the Orlando Summer League for a few years. And I just, because I'm in the Northeast, it's so much easier just go down the Atlantic coast and go to Orlando. There's no crowd, you know, and I know Rob Hennigan, and he just like hooks me up and lets me in and whatever. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm not trying to drop that name. Like we're Emerson guys. Like he's an Emerson basketball guy. I'm an Emerson basketball guy. Like it blows my mind that he's like running a team, but like so whatever. So it was so much easier for me to just like take my time off and go down and cover them there. And then only in the last couple of years have the Celtics gone to Vegas.
Right.
So now that I know that they're doing the Utah Summer League, which is a relatively new thing.
Yeah.
And I know they're doing Utah and Las Vegas, that now I can at least plan. I know they're going to Vegas. So I'll just do that. It'll be fun.
Hey, whenever we're together, man, fun things always happen.
Dude, yeah. It's so funny, man. We go so far back. We are like the OGs.
We are.
People, if you're whatever you, if you're new to this, you don't understand what blogging used to be like. Blogging used to be like, you were like two steps away from chiseling our game notes into rock and putting them onto a cave wall or something. Like that was, it was so, we predated WordPress when I started didn't exist.
What year did you start? Because I started in 2008.
I started in 2006.
Oh, way older than
I'm in my 11th season of blogging and podcasting and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. When I first started, blogging software didn't exist. We did like an actual website where I put everything together in a file. Seriously, me and Chuck McKinney, who is my partner on the site, when something happens, I would say, okay, I'm writing this like, and it used to be like a 3-line recap or whatever. And I would post it onto the web and I would send Chuck, I would literally email Chuck a file that was our website. And he would open it up in whatever, I forget what program we used, but it was basically what they used to call a WYSIWYG editor. What you see is what you get. Mm-hmm. And it was just graphics and text boxes and stuff. And if I wanted to if I wanted to put a new post, I'd have to highlight everything, move it down physically, and create a new box where I would type something. And if it was particularly long, I would have to create a separate file, put that on the web, and then create a link to that other page. So that read more was simply because I had no other physical way of fitting it onto a page. Dude, it was so archaic. It was so archaic. When WordPress came around, Chuck and I were like, oh my God, this is brilliant. And so, I mean, it's amazing to see where we are now. But yeah, man, 11 years. We've outlasted so many people.
I know we have. Like, I started out at Blogspot myself.
Oh, and yeah.
And then, funny enough that me and Project Spurs and Zach Harper.
Yep.
We were all in a network called Most Valuable Network. We somehow all got drafted at the same time. We were all there before we all went our separate ways a year after. So, yeah. And then, of course, we did Vlogs of Balls, which was funny in itself. I still remember that Saturday night. Oh, my gosh.
What was the name of the show that we did?
Which one? The one with...
We had our podcast. It was me, you.
Oh, it was...
Jeff.
The eighth seed?
The eighth seed. Because there's eight of us.
Right. Yeah.
Me, you, Jeff Garcia,
Michael DeLeon.
Mike, Zach Adam, Harper. Zach Harper.
Jared Wade,
yep.
Who's the other guy?
Wait, so me, you, Jeff, Mike,
Zach,
Jared, Adam. There was an eighth one.
There's an eighth guy. Glenn Moore.
Glenn, yes.
Yeah.
Glenn. Yeah. Cleveland.
Yeah.
And now you think about all of us now.
Yeah.
Like Zach is doing great things. Mm-hmm. You know, Jared has, I think, fled to Columbia.
Yeah. But he was doing NBA.com stuff for a while too.
Yeah, no, he's doing great. I'm joking around. Adam is like running the fan-sided network. Mm-hmm. I mean, shit, we're like so many guys from that original show
mm-hmm.
are doing such great things.
Yeah.
You know,
I've had multiple jobs. You have Red's Army.
Yep.
Locked on the NBA network. Like, we're
yep.
all doing
Jeff has been doing stuff in San Antonio on TV. He was like on, like literally on TV doing mm-hmm. Spurs. Like, so much stuff. Glenn is doing amazing stuff in Cleveland.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've all basically branched out and done our own thing. And, they don't know how we had it, man.
So funny.
I know, like all these younger guys. Well, there's really no more, I guess, independent blogging now because everyone's got absorbed by SB Nation and Fansided and the True Hoop Network and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what it is? We want to make money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We're working. We're all working hard, and but we're all doing other things. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to just blog like. I work full time. Mm-hmm. I'm a television producer and reporter. And then I come home and I podcast.
Yeah.
And I'll write some. I don't write as much as I used to, which bothers me a little bit, but I just don't have the time to write like I used to.
Yeah.
But that's just the way it goes. Mm-hmm. But when you're doing all of this other stuff, but you're working and doing, you know, this blogging and whatever, to have a network say, we're going to do the work for you. We're going to sell stuff for you. Mm-hmm. You just got to provide the content and we'll sell and we'll split. Like we'll do the selling part. We're going to, you know, we go 50-50 and our half is to pay us for the work of selling ads and your half is for providing the content. Then so many of us are like, yeah, that sounds great. That sounds really awesome because I don't have any time to sell anything. So I'll sit here. I've set up a pretty nice little thing for myself. I have a little studio. I've got my mic. I've got everything set up so it sounds good. But like, that's it. I can't put any more effort into this.
Yeah.
I watch the games. I analyze. We get into and I try to break it down and try to be entertaining and blah, 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 blah. Like, I don't have time to go out there and be like, hey, I have a sales opportunity for you. Like, I'm not cold calling anybody. Screw that.
Yeah, exactly. We've been doing this for way too long, man.
Yeah, man.
I know. Yeah. And of course, Blogs of Balls. That was the first time we met each other. I remember the first time we met each other. We basically just had a stare down. Because it's like, oh, here's a Lakers guy. Oh, here's a Celtics guy.
Yeah, like, oh, okay.
And it was just for like 5 seconds.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, hey, how's it going? Yeah. Good times, man. Good times.
So much fun, man.
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
I know. And again, I still can't remember that Saturday night.
I don't.
You don't either. So.
Oh, yeah. I remember bits and pieces. I browned out for a lot of it.
Yeah, I still have a couple pictures from that event too. So
really,
yeah. Well, I think there is the one where it's like I'm with old friend Jimmy Castro and other people, and then there's you in the background, there's Jerry in the background, there's Zach
that
in the background. Yeah. So yeah. All right, John. It was fun. Go ahead and plug your social media, your website, your podcast, everything, whatever you need to plug.
Oh, okay, great. You can follow me at Reds_Army_John. And if you want to hate on the Celtics or love the Celtics or whatever, I don't care. That's fine. I co-host the Locked On Celtics podcast. We are a Monday through Friday daily podcast. It's me, it's Jay King, and Sam Packard. Three of us revolve, and so there's usually two of the three on a show Monday through Friday, so we do that. And of course, RedsArmy.com, really one of the two oldest Celtic sites out there. We've been doing it for a long time, and we just got a bunch of really good writers. So we're trying to do the Celtics justice in covering them. So that's it. That's my Twitter. That's my podcast. That's my website. That's it. I'm not forgetting anything.
Yeah. You've been doing this since Bill Russell was champion. That's fantastic.
So, since Adam is not here, I will go ahead and say this. He usually says this. There's no need to be bugging when it's a Ninja Turtle you're hugging. Thanks so much for coming on my show, my favorite prick. Game over,
yeah! Hashtag blame Ray Ray.
Moded.